We had no money. We were workless and collect an unemployment benefit. We just had to see how we got through. We received 30 marks assistance, 20 of which paid the rent. Thank God the union house for the jobless gave us bread and a glass of milk each day. It was often our only meal. Then the sister of my future husband, Ludwig Linzert, married a butcher. The butcher's mother had a little store at Fürstenriederstraße 46, but after a while it was too much for her and she asked if we wanted to take it on. Suddenly we owned a store. After a while, business was running really well. Then, after 1933, we began illegal political work with the ISK, the International Socialist Combat League. We had a printing machine. When we printed leaflets, we draped a blanket over it to muffle the noise. We were constantly afraid neighbors might hear. People had already run us down, Ludwig and myself, because we lived together before we were married, and they'd sent the police round. So we had to be careful. Once the leaflets had been printed, we ran round the houses, delivering them, putting them in the letterboxes and disappearing real quick. Or we distributed them from the motorbike my husband rode to the central market each morning. We packed a backpack full of leaflets in the night. I rode pillion and scattered leaflets from the backpack as we rode through the working class districts, Sendling, West End and so on, and quickly on to the next place. It was imperative no one saw us. We always set out in the early hours when people were still sleeping. Everyone involved in these illegal activities had a code name. When a leaflet operation was over, we left our code names and a sign in a phone booth. The others checked, and then they knew that everything was okay and that we had gotten home safely. With our leaflets, we wanted to show workers what things were really like in the Third Reich. We were scared, of course. We knew we couldn't afford to get caught, or else it was Dachau. Our grocery store at Fürstenriederstraße 46 was our meeting place and contact point. We heard from friends in North Germany that people were in danger and had to flee. They would be passing through Munich. We were to help them on their way or even take them in. But how were we to recognize them? It was arranged that they would buy something in our store and put down the money in a particular way. Then we would know. Or they would ask for something like white loaf sugar, something not available locally. It used to be used for preserving. Again, with things like that, we knew it was one of us. And then they made a move. On July 20th, 1937, the doorbell rang at 5 a.m. And there at the door stood two huge SS men dressed in black leather. You recognized them instantly. Up out of bed, our daughter had woken and was screaming. Then they took my husband away. What now? What was I to do? There was no one to go to the central market to buy produce for the store. Relatives had no telephone, I couldn't reach them. How I got through that day, I no longer know. As soon as I could, I went with my brother-in-law to Gestapo headquarters at the Wittelsbach Palais. He stood a way off because he didn't want to be involved. All our relatives were afraid they'd be next. He was in all the Munich prisons. Stadelheim was his last stop before being sentenced and transferred to Landsberg. There was a homeopath from our circle in Stadelheim who had hanged himself after his arrest. When I heard this, I wrote a message on a tiny slip of paper and pressed it into my husband's hand as we greeted each other in the prison. Then he knew that he could incriminate the dead man. Ludwig Koch was also arrested. He received 8 years prison for plotting high treason. The Gestapo also interrogated me. They threatened me, saying my daughter wouldn't live to be 1 year old. They would take her away from me and put her in a home somewhere.